It's good to be here in worship together. And this morning I'm looking at the last sermon in our series, How Sweet the Sound. On Easter Sunday morning, we looked at the grace story. The grace story and amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That Jesus died on the cross and rose again to save a wretch like me. And then last week, Debbie looked at the story of what a friend we have in Jesus. And what a wonderful message that she gave to us last week. This morning, we want to look at another hymn of the church and what it has to say from Scripture. And the hymn we're looking at this morning is, It Is Well With My Soul. Within the Salvation Army, and certainly here at FASFA and Salvos, we love hearing our church sing. One of the things that I'm grieving the most is being able to hear our hall full with voices on a Sunday morning. The worship team are fantastic, but there is nothing that quite is the same as hearing the entire church singing together in worship. As a church and as a denomination, we sing our theology. We sing about how good God is and who God is in our lives. And one of those hymns that we sing is the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And I wonder for you and for me whether you've actually thought about what that hymn, who wrote the hymn, firstly, and what was the history behind the hymn. I think we often sing words on the screen or we sing words in a hymn book and we think, oh, well, that's nice. Is that what you think? Well, we're going to look this morning at a passage of Scripture which doesn't seem to really match with It Is Well With My Soul, but we're going to read it and then see how it all fits together. So would you join me as we read together from Psalm 22, Psalm 22, verses 1 through to verse 5. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, why have you forsaken me? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer me. By night, but I do not find rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. May God add a blessing to the reading of His word this morning. Well, what does that even have to do with this hymn? How can we have those first couple of verses of Psalm 22 and think to ourselves, it is well with my soul? Well, the original hymn was written by a gentleman called Horatio Spafford. And Horatio Spafford was a Chicago lawyer. And he had, for many years, built up quite a significant real estate portfolio and had quite a lot of real estate right along the Lake Michigan and along the shoreline there. While he was living there, before his financial disaster that came, he had a son who passed away from pneumonia. In 1871, he struggled so much because of the Chicago fire. His entire fortune was evaporated overnight because of the Chicago fire. He'd invested so heavily in that real estate that it was all wiped out on that particular night. Desiring a rest for his wife and four daughters, Horatio Spafford planned a European holiday for himself and his family. And he took that in 1873. Just before they were ready to leave, there was a last-minute reason that he needed to stay behind. So he sent his family ahead. He sent his family ahead and stayed behind in Chicago. On November 22, the ship that his family was on was struck and sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, the survivors of that made it to Cardiff in Wales. And Mrs. Spafford, the mother of the children, cabled her husband and said, "I've been saved alone." Spafford left immediately to join his wife. This hymn is said to have been penned by him as he approached the area of the ocean thought to be where the ship carrying his daughters had sunk. The captain came and spoke to him and let him know that that was the case. And then he wrote words like this: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." What a remarkable position to find himself in. A remarkable position that in the midst of the pain, in the midst of suffering, God was still present. And this morning, friends, I want to give you that assurance this morning. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, God is still present. Now, for all of us, we aren't sharing in the same heartache that Spafford shared in that particular moment, but we have our own, don't we? We have our own heartaches. We have our own turmoils. We have our own stresses that cause us to be weighed down at times. Well, this morning I want to give you the encouragement that it can still be well, even when it isn't. It's all right to not be all right. We can find hope in the Scriptures. In Psalm 34, it tells us these words: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saved those who are crushed by spirit." He is close to us. Any great calamity that happens in the world, and we're faced with a remarkable pandemic right at the moment with COVID-19, it doesn't matter what we are facing. It could be isolation, it could be loneliness, it could be stresses in our family life, whatever it might be. The psalmist tells us that the Lord is close and comforts those who are crushed in spirit. How does this link back to Psalm 22? Well, these words that we read here are the same words that Jesus said on the cross when he was crushed and he was crushed in spirit. When he was hanging on the cross, he yelled out those words: "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" My God, why have you forsaken me? The Psalms were there. They were their hymns. They were the hymns of the day. The Spirit of the Lord, it says in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind the brokenhearted." We're going to partner to proclaim the freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners. We're partnering with God in his mission. We're the ones who will at times be used by God as his hands and his feet to bring hope to the brokenhearted. My God, why have you forsaken me? I want to encourage you this morning, friends, that God is still with you. God is still with us. We join with the hymn writer who says those words that we read this morning: "It is well with my soul." It's not a question of where is God, but where are we? It's not a question of where is God, but where are we? Are we positioning ourselves to look towards God? In the midst of our pain, we need to be reminded that God is still present. In the darkest hour of humanity, when Jesus was on the cross, the darkness of the tomb could not contain him, and the darkness of our lives cannot contain the hope and the light that he wants to bring. The next verse in that hymn says, "Oh, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more, praise the Lord." How can it be? How can it possibly be that he can sing, "It is well with my soul," when it really wasn't? It's because he had a blessed assurance that was found in God himself, that God had was carrying him through. This morning, each of us might be struggling with those words. We might be wondering where God is in all of this. Maybe we have said words like, "Where are you, God?" Well, you're in good company. You're in good company because even Jesus said that on the cross. In the middle of our pain, in the middle of our suffering, just like Spafford, God is present. God is present for us. God is not absent when we are struggling in our dark times. Let us call out to him and join together with the hymn writer and say, "It is well with my soul." The hope is found in those next three verses that we read this morning. My God, where have you forsaken me? Is that first line? And it says, no matter what I do, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you, our ancestors trusted. We are building our lives on the faith of our forebears, on the faith of the pioneers of our faith. Our faith is built on the pioneers who have gone before. When they cried out to you, you heard them, and they were saved. In you they trusted. In you they trusted. So this morning, we're going to sing those words in just a moment, and those words that say, "It is well with my soul." It's not a song of despair, whilst it could have been. It could have easily been a song of despair. It could have been, "Why me?" Easily. But no, in contrast, Spafford wrote those words that say, "It is well with my soul." So as we continue to, as the worship team comes up to share with us this morning these words, I'd invite you to join with us as we sing them. "It is well with my soul." In the middle of your pain, I want you to know, friends, that God is present. God is not an absent God where we wonder, where is God in all of this? But it's quite the contrary. We join with the hymn writer and we say, "It is well. It is well with my soul." And as the worship team come, what are the things in your life? What are the things that are going on for you? The stresses that are going on, the heartache that you've got. It may be that family members are not in relationship with God and you'd love them to be. Maybe they're going through a really tough time and you're wondering where God is in their situation. God is still present. And in the midst of the most extraordinary pain and suffering, God comes alongside and brings hope and healing to us when we call on him. God bless you, friends. Have a great week.